So, goals for today, quickly finish with those two definitions using swaddling and framing of invariants in Z mod Z. More precisely, it's two ways of enhancing knots so that you get invariants in Z. But if you want to forget the enhancement, the swaddling or the framing, then the invariant is lost. Okay. So, and then the second goal is to start with the proof of the main theorem, except the statement isn't there yet, so the theorem will really be, here's an invariant, but the significance will come later. And in fact, it will not even be, here's an invariant, it will be, here's a mistaken definition of an invariant, which will be corrected later. So just to remind you, we wanted to define sort of a linking number by defining eta of a curve gamma to be, well, you look at two points on the curve, you integrate over all possible positioning over the configuration space of two points on a curve. On the curve, the pullback from S3 of the volume form via the direction of U map, phi. Okay? And then we saw that that was not an invariant. So there were two ways of correcting it. One is to find a swaddling map, beta. So that's a map of the disk into the sphere, which on the boundary of the disk agrees with this, the definition of this on the boundary, so meaning with gamma dot. And then if you have such a beta, you can use minus the conjugate of beta for the bottom boundary, assemble the two together, you get a map from the sphere to the sphere. The degree of that map is the self-linking number, definition number one. And then the second definition was, so given a knot, a framing of the knot is, well, a choice of a normal at every point up to homotopy. Alternatively, it's a choice of a nearby companion knot, okay, which sort of follows the original. And then the linking number of the two, so the knot and the second knot that you get by moving epsilon in the direction of the normal, so the linking number of these two is hereby declared to be the second definition of the self-linking number. And of course, both definitions depended on the choice of this swaddling or framing. Okay? So I wanted to say a little bit more about this. Okay? So, I started saying it yesterday, and I want to say a tiny bit more now. So, not yesterday, last week. So, the second definition, I want to make it into a slightly different, I want to revise it, rewrite it in a slightly way, a slightly different way. So, it's the degree of the direction map going from a point on the knot to a point on the companion knot. So it's the degree of this map. Okay, the map from the configuration space of points, of pairs, a point here and a point here. Well, okay. Now, largely, this map is the same as this map. So, since this distance is only epsilon, then largely, with the exception of the case when these two points are really, really close, the map whose degree we are taking here is the same as the map we use here, or rather, the integral we're using, the integrand that appears here, is the same as the integrand that appears here. Where do they differ? So they differ if one point is on the knot, And the other point is along a short path which goes, well, which is near that point. Okay? So now how long is this path? So if this distance is epsilon, I need to go sufficiently far away, sort of, I stop caring about this path when I'm sufficiently far away so that epsilon will appear to be small. So I mean, there's some limiting to do, okay? But you know, if I go 1,000 times epsilon, then the difference between the integrand here and the integrand here will be roughly 1/1,000. So when epsilon is sufficiently small, even 1,000 times epsilon is a small interval. Okay. Again, one could make it precise, but I'm not sure if there is a point. So the conclusion is that the integral SL2, okay, the integral defining SL2 of gamma and nu is equal to the integral defining eta of gamma plus a contribution coming from a relatively small part. Now, I want to understand this contribution. Okay? So, this contribution in itself is an integral over, so it's an integral over S1, okay? So it's an integral over S1 cross an interval. So one point will lie on S1, sort of somewhere along the knot, and the other point will lie along this interval. So it's an integral along a cylinder, S1 cross an interval, and the integrand will be the same direction of view or pullback of volume, pullback from the sphere of the volume via the direction of view map, okay? Where the direction of restricted to this small part. So maybe I'll call this map H sub nu, for reasons which I will explain in a second. Okay, so it's the integral of H sub nu pullback of omega. So strictly speaking, this is not an equality, but it becomes an equality, but it's only an approximate equality, and it becomes more and more exact the smaller epsilon is. However, the left-hand side is independent of epsilon. So if I take the limit, so when I take the limit here, as epsilon goes to zero, I mean, here really it's eta sub epsilon. So eta defined, but sort of keeping away from a small neighborhood in this configuration space. And here, the epsilon enters in various places too. But the point is that when epsilon goes to zero, this goes to the original eta, and this is a constant, and let's see what happens to this. Okay? So, what is this map H sub eta? So, H sub eta is a map which takes, well, okay, which at the lower boundary of the interval maps to right, we go in this direction, but this direction, assuming that epsilon is small and this interval is relatively large, this direction is negative gamma dot. So this direction here is negative gamma dot. And over here, the direction is gamma dot. Okay? So the conclusion is that H sub gamma is a homotopy, sorry, not H sub gamma, H sub nu. H sub nu is a homotopy from gamma dot to negative gamma dot. Now, if you think about it, that's exactly what a normal to the curve gives you, right? Gamma dot is a, I wish I had my sphere here, but gamma dot is a point on the sphere. Negative gamma dot is the antipode to it. Generally speaking, you don't know how to go from one to the other. But the moment you have a normal to the curve, that decides along which long circle to go. And in fact, that's exactly what you do here. In the middle of the way, right, the normal decides the middle of the way, and in the middle of the way here, you go along the direction of the normal. Okay? So, I guess what I'm saying is that such a homotopy is determined by the framing. That's exactly what a framing gives you. A homotopy between gamma dot and negative gamma dot. Okay? So, a different way to write this whole expression is in the following way. So, it's the degree of a certain map, which I will now define. So, first of all, let's write the part of the map that defines eta. So the part of the map that defines eta is just the map phi going into S2 and defined on the configuration space compactified of two points. Okay? But then, and that's a cylinder as we've discussed. But then we have another cylinder. We have the integral of the pullback of omega to another cylinder whose map to the sphere agrees on the boundary with the map of this cylinder. Okay? So the other cylinder will look like this. Well, okay, sorry. I mean, it's actually the smaller cylinder in some informal sense. But, well, I'll draw it bigger. So, it looks like this, and it can be glued to this cylinder. And it's the map from it to S squared is H sub nu. And it's the homotopy between negative gamma dot, which appears here, to gamma dot, which appears here. Okay? And overall, our integral is the degree of this map from the torus to S2. Okay? Now, what is this map from the torus to S2? It's just, it's just the map defining this, the linking number. Okay? So that's all I wanted to say. Okay. Now, I also wanted to compare. Just to rehash, okay? So, the second definition of the self-linking number is an integral on the torus. This torus can be decomposed into two pieces. One piece defines eta, and the other piece, which appears big but it's actually smaller, is a homotopy between gamma dot and negative gamma dot, defined using the normal, using the framing. Okay? Okay. So the second point I wanted to make was, so is there any relationship between these two definitions? So, the claim is that there is. So, there is a pairing between framings and swaddlings. Okay? So, definition. So, given a beta and a nu, okay? So, in fact, the not is unnecessary here. So, really what I mean is a beta, which is a map from the disk to the 2S2, and a nu, which is a map from S1 to S2, such that nu looks like the normal to a curve swaddled by beta. So, in other words, such that nu is always normal to beta restricted to S1. Okay? Then I will define a pairing, an integer, which will be associated to this pair. No, the value of beta is gamma dot. Beta on the boundary is gamma dot. So, but I don't need gamma to make this definition. Okay? So I can define a pairing between two such pieces of information as follows. So basically, it will be the degree of a certain map. So what is this map? I'll draw this map using three pieces. So at the top, I will take a disk and let beta be and use beta to define a map into S2 from that disk. At the bottom, I will take the same as over there, so negative beta conjugate. Conjugate really just means that you look up here, okay, to see the definition. Okay? Par. It's not conjugate, it's par. Okay? Now, on the boundary, over here, at any point, you get, well, here you get beta, and in the opposite point, you get negative of beta. But nu is normal to beta. Nu at that point is normal to beta and also to negative beta, but a normal to beta defines a path from beta to negative beta. So going from here to here, use the path from beta to negative beta defined by nu. In other words, overall this cylinder is the same homotopy defined by nu. Well, over here it was from gamma dot to negative gamma dot, but it was really equally well beta to negative beta. Okay? So, this way we get a map from the sphere to the sphere, so we can take the degree of this map. Okay? So, second definition, I will say that a framing and a swaddling correspond if their pairing is zero. Okay? So I will say that beta and nu match if and only if. So, okay, this means they correspond. I establish a bijection. In fact, it's not quite a bijection, but just a correspondence, a matching between certain framings and certain swaddlings and certain not framings. So I will say that they match if their pairing is equal to zero. Okay? For example, in fact, we already did it, okay? So for example, if you take beta to be essentially the identity map, so the upper hemisphere, okay? Then, the framing that matches it is the framing. It's kind of not what you would expect. So, how could I do it? Well, okay, let me compute. Oh, you know what? Let me say it differently. Let's do an example of a pairing, and the example will be strange. And then the conclusion will be that the matching is a bit strange. So let's compute the matching of the ordinary framing of the R naught, okay, with the upper hemisphere beta. Okay, so we actually already did this. The map that you will get will look like. Well, on the top hemisphere, you will be using the identity. On a small neighborhood of the equator, the small neighborhood of the equator is this whole cylinder. On a small neighborhood of the equator, you will be going from a certain tangent, which is in itself on the equator, to its negative, using a path that stays in the equator, in the equatorial plane. So basically, this whole thing will be mapped to, well, the top will be mapped to itself. This whole cylinder will be mapped to the equatorial plane itself, so it will have no effect on the degree, and then the bottom will be mapped to the bottom. So the degree of this is one. So in fact, if you wanted the framing that that matches with the upper hemisphere, it will be the negative one framing. Okay, the framing that will, well, it will be the negative one framing. Okay, anyway, so now I can state a theorem. It's not really a theorem, it's a short statement. So this defines a bijection, I mean this correspondence defines a bijection between homotopy classes. So I will not say the word homotopy classes off, but it should be understood, between swaddlings or swaddling maps and odd framings. So odd framings are framings that produce an odd number when paired with a knot. And furthermore, under this bijection, so if beta corresponds to a framing, then SL1 of a knot gamma and its framing is equal to, no, sorry, that one, that was, sorry, SL1 was defined with the swaddling. Then this is equal to SL2 of the knot with the corresponding framing. Okay? So basically I'm establishing the correspondence between those two silly, well, not quite silly, I mean those two extensions of the word knot. One is knot with a framing and the other is a knot with a swaddling. Okay? And I think the proof is, well, okay, I should have said, what is the proof? The proof is, it's a homework. But it's an, basically, it's easy. So you have to compare three degrees, okay? One is the degree of this map. One is the degree assembled by these three pieces here. The other is the degree assembled by these three pieces here. And the other is, and the last one is the degree assembled by these three pieces. But you find that the middle piece here matches with the outside piece here, whatever. You find that the pieces match and you get the equality. Okay. So that's all I have to say about, that's the end of what I have to say about framings and swaddlings. And now I want to move on to goal number two. So, Eva, is this okay?
Yep.
You can stop me if it's not okay.
Okay.
And, and start with the proof of the main theorem. So, you see, I'd like to lie to you and tell you that this idea of using pullbacks to study and to make integrals that compute invariants was so successful that we want to generalize it. So it's a lie because it wasn't successful, right? I mean, for the linking number, it was a success. When we attempted to get a not invariant, we got a big mess. Maybe interesting, maybe amusing, but it's very hard to call it a success. And indeed, the self-linking number and basically everything we did so far was known for, I don't know, 100 years, maybe more. The linking number was known to Gauss, and the idea to generalize these integrals never, you know, hadn't occurred until essentially Witten wrote Chern-Simons theory, basically until Friday's class led to it. Okay? But let me pretend that what happened was a great success and we seek its obvious generalization. Okay? What is the obvious generalization? So the obvious generalization is the following blatantly false theorem. But of course we will later correct it and it will become true. So let me define the biggest generalization I can imagine of these things. So Z1 of a not gamma, and later it will be links just as well. So Z1 of a not gamma is a sum of all possible integrals that I could write that are of this general nature. Okay? So it's the sum. Now, what parameterizes such integrals? How can I write such an integral? So maybe I'll give an example. Okay? So suppose you have a diagram that looks like the following. First of all, it has a circle. The circle stands for the nodes. Stands for the node. Then it has a number of points on the knot, which are to be integrated upon. Just like before, we had one or two points on the knot. Okay? But now maybe it will be three. Okay, you know what? Maybe it will be four. Okay? But why not also integrate on points on R3? Okay? So now I'm integrating over S1 raised to the power 4, because I have 4 points on the knot, cross R3 to the power 2, I'm going to sum over all such choices, okay? But let's just see one of them first, okay? So this is a 10-dimensional manifold. So this is 10-dimensional. Now, if I am to integrate on a 10-dimensional space, I better integrate at 10 form. The only way I know so far to generate forms is to take pullbacks from S2. So I need 5 direction vectors. So using these points, I need to somehow make 5 direction vectors. So here's one way to do it. Okay? Right? So this represents a direction vector, so a point in S2, this is a point in S2, this is a point. Basically, you get 5 of them, so that gives me a correct integrand. Okay? Now, maybe later I will explain why this is all. These are the only possibilities. Okay? But now, let me just put it into the definition. So the big sum will be a sum over all these diagrams, these, so this I will call D, where D belongs to the set of all diagrams that are written in this way. So let me be more precise. So these are graphs that have a distinguished circle and are otherwise trivalent graphs. But you see, I mean, it could be more complicated. Like, I could have an edge from here to here. My graphs must be trivalent. So this is not a vertex. This is just an artifact of the projection of the graph to the plane. Okay? You know, I may have more, I don't know. Okay? Or maybe even, another edge here. So basically, I will sum over all such graphs. And then, what will I sum? So I want, you know, I want Z1, sorry, it's not Z1, it's Z negative 1. You see, I will then correct it, it will become Z0, and Z0 will start having a meaning. This is before it has a meaning. Okay? So, so now I want to consider all such integrals. So really, Z negative 1 should be a generating function. Okay? So I will just take the diagram D itself times a certain integral. So this will live in, where does this integral live? It lives, this will be a numerical factor, and then it will be a numerical factor times a diagram. So it will be, it will live in the space D negative 1, again, later to be corrected, which is the set of, so this is the vector space of formal linear combinations with real numbers as coefficients of graphs or diagrams as here. Okay? Now, what is the integrand? So, given such a diagram, let me put a few names to the pieces that I will see in it. So I will call edges that lie on the external circle skeleton edges. So this is a skeleton edge, because I will think of the circle as being a skeleton, and on top of it I put things. Okay? I will call edges like this internal edges, so this is an internal edge, and likewise this vertex I will call a skeleton vertex, and this vertex I will call an internal vertex. So I'm writing I because I'm lazy. Okay? And then, in general, given a diagram D, I can associate with it four sets. So the set E sub I of D, which is all internal edges, and likewise E sub S of D, V sub I of D, and V sub S of D. It's clear what each one of those is. And now I can write the integrand. So the integrand will be, maybe first I should say, what is the integration domain? The integration domain will be the configuration space of all ways of placing this diagram D in R3 on top of the knot gamma. Okay? What does it mean in practice? So what is it as a... Okay, so first of all, what is it informally? So informally, it's... what is C D of what did I call it? R3 and gamma. So it's the set of all ways of placing the diagram on gamma. So here is gamma, and it will correspond to the skeleton edges of the diagram. And then I need to place the diagram on top of it, so it will mean choosing four points on the knot, I don't know, these four, 2 points in R3, and making a tinker toy diagram, so using sticks or chopsticks or, you know, whatever you think, to make a construction like that, okay? More precisely, this is simply, let me say it differently. It's a subset of S1 raised to the power, the skeleton vertices of D. Okay? So basically, I have, for each skeleton vertex, I need to decide where to put it on the diagram. And the reason I'm saying that it's a subset rather than the whole thing is because I want to preserve the order. I want the order in which they appear on gamma to be the same order as the graph theory forces. Cross R3 raised to the power V internal of D. Okay? And by the way, this is, so the dimension of this manifold, is the number of skeleton vertices of D plus 3 times the number of internal vertices of D. Okay? Okay, so this is the integration domain. Now, what's the integrand? So the integrand will be the wedge product. I mean, right now I'm writing wedge product. From this point on, I will probably just write product. Okay, but product will mean wedge product. So it's the wedge product over all edges. So the edges that give me a perspective, that give me a viewing direction, are the internal edges. So all edges living in V internal of, sorry, not V, E, internal edges of the diagram. And for each vertex, so for each such edge, I will get a map phi E. And it's phi sub E is a map from the configuration space to S2. It's the map which is the direction from the, well, whatever vertex is on the left of the edge to the whatever vertex is on the right of the edge. I will use this map to pull back omega. And this is it? No, it isn't. There is a convention, and later it will be clear why the convention is good, to divide by the order of the automorphism group of D. So if D has symmetries, you divide by how many symmetries it has. So I guess this one has just two. Okay, you can rotate it 180 degrees. Yeah?
Do you have to exclude the points where the they are
outside? Oh, so, right. So I suppose it's contained in this minus all diagonals. Okay? It's far from obvious that the integral converges, right? Because it's an integration over a non-compact set. It's definitely not obvious that it's an invariant. I mean, but that's the goal. Anyway, so now I can state a theorem and then fix it. Okay? So still this is a it's still a blatantly false theorem. So the theorem is that z negative 1 defined below is an invariant, and in parentheses I will add that it is the invariant which will be seeked on Mondays, and two, which computes, or which is inspired by Fridays. Inspired by Fridays. Okay? So now I have a long process of correcting this. Okay? And also putting a meaning to the other statements. Eva, can I erase? So, first thing is, let's understand even better what is the set of graphs that we care about. So D negative 1, again, even this, even the target space will get improved later on. So D negative 1, for now, it's the vector space spanned by, how did I say it? Connected, I guess I failed to say the word connected here, but it's clear that you don't care about disconnected graphs. So if you had a component of the graph that doesn't even touch the knot, who cares? It will never see the knot. Okay? So so the graph must somehow be connected to the knot, otherwise you may get something, but it will be independent of the knot, so what's the point? Actually, to be fair, the point is that this also makes sense in arbitrary three manifolds, and then that might see the three manifold. But that's not the point for this class. Okay? So for this class, we don't care about things like that. So first of all, so it's connected, trivalent graphs, Ds, with a marked skeleton. So I don't want to define it, but a marked skeleton will be a subgraph which forms a skeleton, which forms a circle, okay? So with skeleton S1. And now I have to say a little bit more, which I didn't say in the negative one or in the negative two approximation, negative 1.5 approximation. So, first of all, the direction of view map depends on how the edge is oriented. Now, if you switch the orientation of the map of an edge, the map you get is the antipodal map, is the map composed with the antipode. The antipode of S2 is orientation reversing. So if you pull back the volume form using the map, using phi sub e, assuming one orientation of the edge, or assuming the opposite orientation of the edge, you'll get a negative sign. Okay? So, it's not enough that I'll have a skeleton, it's not enough that I'll have a diagram as drawn here. I actually want my diagram to have oriented internal edges. Well, the skeleton edges are, by the way, anyway oriented, because the skeleton is it corresponds to the knot, and the knot is oriented. So really, I want all edges to be oriented. Okay, so oriented edges. Okay, the second point, and it's also a point about signs. So in order to integrate a form on a manifold, the manifold itself has to be oriented. Okay? Not just orientable, it has to be oriented. Okay? Now, our manifold CD of R3 and gamma, I wish I hadn't erased it, is S1 to the to the skeleton vertices cross R3 to the internal vertices.
Minus diagonals.
I should say subset. Okay? So if that one was oriented, this would inherit an orientation. It's actually an open subset. So if this is oriented, this will inherit an orientation. Now, the circle is oriented because we talk about oriented knots throughout. R3 is oriented because we've chosen we're talking about oriented knots in oriented space throughout. But you see, the product of two odd dimensional manifolds, the orientation of the product depends on the ordering of the factors. So in other words, if you have two odd dimensional manifolds, if M and N are both odd, then there is an obvious map from M cross N to N cross M, just the change the order of the two factors, and this map is orientation reversing if the two manifolds are odd. Okay? But I have no special reason to choose the elements here in any particular order, the factors here in any particular order, or the factors here in any particular orders. Now I can declare that I will take the S1s before the R3s, but at least I don't know how to internally order these and internally order these. So the conclusion is that for the sign to make sense, so for the configuration space to be oriented, I also need an ordered set V S D and so no sorry I should say orderings on the sets. So the sets, these sets exist already, so I only need ordering on VSD and VID. Okay, now the integral makes sense. Not up to a sign, I mean, as a number. Okay? However, now I have too much information. Because if I reverse the orientation of an edge, the only thing that happens is that the integral changes a sign. So it would be wasteful to record this information twice. Okay? It's just wasteful. It's not. Okay? But anyway, so I can mod out. Is this time to finish?
Yeah.
It is. So you know what? I will only say what I mod out by, and later I will analyze it. Okay? So I mod out by reversing the orientation of an edge reverses a sign. So if you flip the orientation of any edge on the graph, it becomes minus that graph. Which makes sense because I'm anyway talking about linear formal linear combinations, and likewise permuting the ordering, so VS or VI acts by the sign representation, and I'll stop now. Okay.